Hare Krishna. Surrender to Krishna is not a pronouncement of defeat, but a precursor to victory. I surrender. Normally, we see this expression in real life or in movies whenever a general or an army, while fighting, is unable to fight and accepts defeat. So a combatant lays down the weapons, a person who has guns puts down the guns and raises the hands, maybe puts up a white flag to indicate surrender. So normally, surrender is a pronouncement of defeat. And we often project the conceptions that we acquire from our social environment into the spiritual culture. So when we see Bhagavad Gita concluding in 18.66 with a call to surrender, Sarva Dharman Parityajya Mamekam Sharanam Raja, give up all varieties of religion and just surrender to me. When Krishna says something like this, we may also think, oh, that means I am struggling and fighting in life and I have to accept defeat, put aside my weapons and surrender. This often evokes a very negative image of surrender. But yet, if you look at the Bhagavad Gita, what happens? Now, Krishna calls for surrender in 18.76. And in 18.73, Arjuna surrenders. He says, Karishye vachanam tava. I'll do what you say. Which indicates when Arjuna is being called to surrender, he is surrendering. But then, the further denouement, the further actions that happen after Arjuna has surrendered are hinted at in the Bhagavad Gita and its concluding verse. And that is 18.78. Yatra Yogeshwara Krishna, Yatra Partho Dhanurdhara, Tatra Shreer Vijayo Bhutir, Dhruvani Tirma Tirma Ma. So, here we see an image that Arjuna has raised his arrow and Sanjaya is predicting that there will be Vijaya, victory. So, normally surrender means a combatant gives up the weapons and accepts defeat. But whereas we see Arjuna, who had at the start of the Gita in 1.46, had put aside his weapons, Visrujya Sasharam Chapam Shokasam Vignamanasaha, who had put aside his bow, has at the end of the Bhagavad Gita in 18.78 picked up the bow, Dhanurdharaha, and instead of saying, oh, now surrender means I am defeated, Arjuna, it is predicted by Sanjaya, there will be Vijayo, there will be victory. So, the Bhagavad Gita calls for surrender, but then ends with the image that is the antithesis of the normal picture of surrender. So, what makes surrender to Krishna so different from our normal conception of surrender in this world? The difference is due to love. The surrender which Krishna asks for in the Bhagavad Gita is the means by which the wall that separates us from Krishna breaks down. By our surrender, we allow Krishna to use his omnipotence to break down the wall of illusion and ignorance that separates us from him. Nashto moho smutir labdha. Akachida jnana sammoha pranashtaste dhananjaya. In 18.72, Arjuna is being asked by Krishna, has your ignorance and illusion been dispelled? Kachid ajnana sammoha. And Arjuna is acknowledging in the affirmative, nashto moha. So surrender breaks the wall of ignorance and illusion that separates us from Krishna with his omnipotence and omnibenevolence. Omnibenevolence means his desire to do good to everyone. Now, the Bhagavad Gita does talk about a literal war which happened in Kurukshetra. It also talks about the war that happens in our heart. Krishna is right next to us in our heart, but there is a wall of ignorance and illusion that separates us. And when we surrender to Krishna, we let him break that wall. And then he empowers us in both our inner and our outer battles. The very nature of life is that it presents us with perplexities and perversities. Perplexities means we are faced with situations where we just don't know what to do. We're bewildered. Should I do this or should I do that? And then perversities means life just brings blatant injustice in our life. We intend to do good and terrible things happen to us and to those whom we love. So at such times, we can become confused and we feel destitute. We don't know what to do and we feel as lost and lonely. And this is what happened to Arjuna at the start of the Gita, when he had to face the prospect of fighting against his own teacher and grandfather and other relatives. He just felt disheartened and almost dejected, feeling that he couldn't fight. But the knowledge of the Gita empowered him to see a reality that transcends the immediate perplexities and perversities. That even through all these confusions and tribulations, there is an opportunity to grow in love and to grow in pure spiritual love towards Krishna and attain an arena which will forever be free from such perplexities and perversities. So that filled him with confidence and that enabled him to raise his weapons and fight. Now Arjuna, in the subsequent war, won. And the Bhagavad Gita refers to that victory. But actually it refers to something much greater. It refers to Arjuna's eventual victory against the ignorance and illusion of this world and his ultimate attainment of Krishna's eternal world. So by the message of the Gita, by surrendering to Krishna, we will be empowered to win our external battles. At the same time, that is not the essential message of the Gita, because in the outer battles that we face, fortunes are fickle. Sometimes there will be victory, sometimes there will be defeat. Of course, by the wisdom of the Gita, we will be able to fight more confidently, act more intelligently, and therefore attain far more successes, far more sustainable, meaningful successes than what we would have otherwise. But the Bhagavad Gita's focus is not just on victory in this world. It also talks about the ultimate victory. By surrender to Krishna, we attain the ultimate victory of developing, of reviving our pure eternal love for Him and ultimately being transported to that eternal world which is free from perplexity and perversity and which is filled with life and love eternal. Thank you. Hare Krishna.